The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "After me, the one who is more powerful than I is coming, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but the one who is coming will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as Jesus was coming out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. Heavens are torn apart. "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased." So what makes Jesus the Beloved? Is it because he's a parent's only child? I suppose a lot of us who have been parents understand that one. Personally, Valerie and I watch our oldest boy dote over their only son, who came later in life. I kind of think of him as Abraham in a way. And the little guy whose name, you may remember, the name is Ez from this French town. But he's kind of an Isaac character. But I guarantee he is beloved as a parent's only child. But maybe it's because Jesus does what God wants. So did God order Jesus to get into the water? Is that why he is beloved? Seems a bit legalistic and not that relational. A couple of nights ago, Valerie and I were watching once again the documentary that followed the Corps of Discovery up the Missouri River into the Louisiana Purchase and told that story just once more of their astounding investigation and expedition, at Lewis and Clark expedition. So we were astounded once more just to see it. And the Corps of Discovery, isn't that just the best all-time name, I think? We should name a church. No, maybe not. But after the Corps had come back and settled back into life, there was a telling and tragic scene that was documented sometime after their celebrated return. A Native American leader was speaking with the president, that is President Jefferson, and delivering news that he and others had actually met Meriwether Lewis, whom the president had referred to as our beloved man. "We have stood with the beloved man," said the chief. And the Indian nations were grateful for the friendship and good promises that Lewis, the beloved man, had spoken on behalf of the U.S. government. But as already was apparent, and would, we all know by history, become even more so, the U.S. government was not living up to the promising words given the Native Americans by Mr. Jefferson's beloved man. Indian nations would be abused, excluded from the new society that was emerging. they would be killed. As it turned out, very little was pleasing about U.S. behavior toward Indian nations. So Lewis, the beloved man, died soon after, perhaps even probably by his own hand, some short time into his life after the Corps had triumphantly returned. Maybe he also wondered what kind of beloved man he had been. So what kind of beloved man was Jesus? And why was God pleased with him? And what's so good about being baptized, about his being baptized? The question is asked, it's always asked, why did Jesus get baptized? Because, as it says in our lesson, everybody was coming from Jerusalem and all around for a baptism of repentance and forgiveness. Repentance and forgiveness, certainly, that was not why Jesus was baptized. But it was. But not for his, but for our forgiveness. That is why the voice from heaven identifies Jesus as the beloved man, if you will. Jesus is beloved because in his baptism, he is one with all those who are in need of repentance and forgiveness. No exclusion. All. God is pleased because God's will for the salvation of all humankind is being followed by Jesus' baptism with sinners. Already, Jesus announces without saying any words that he is one with all, that he has come for all. Jesus' baptism is a universal statement. God's love and will for life is for all people. This inclusive expression was a challenge to both the religious and the political realities of Jesus' own time. And as we read the story, we see how that becomes very clear. Baptized by water, Jesus is one with the people. Baptized by the Spirit, Jesus is one with God. He is beloved because he is an expression of God's own love. Something new in this event, something new in the Christ, is breaking into the world with the arrival and baptism of Jesus. It is symbolized by however we imagine that tear in the heavens, a tear in reality, a tear in the way things have always been, a tear through which the Holy Spirit arrives. If we continue reading, and I know you all will, and we'll follow the gospel lesson all the way through, obviously, but many relate this tear in the heavens with the tear that concludes the whole gospel story, the tear in the holy curtain in the temple at Jesus' crucifixion, the baptism of suffering that is foreshadowed in Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River by John. In the instance of Meriwether Lewis, the beloved man, he was betrayed by a national fabric, a national will that asserted greed and prejudice over the promises of life to an indigenous people. This illustration of a fallen national will, I think, it's not just one that speaks of nations and nation states, but it reminds us all personally how it is difficult for us by willpower to be the beloved person. We desire to be the beloved woman, the beloved man, to give life to those whom we encounter and in our institutions as well. But often, perhaps most often, we find that we don't. And we all know within our own hearts and within our own will and all, however hard we may try, it's just not a matter of willpower and our intention. But the gospel lesson today says it is a matter of the Spirit that binds us to God and to one another, a matter of trust. Jesus will come to baptize us with the Holy Spirit. That Spirit is the Spirit of our deep connection to God in forgiveness and in the empowerment to new life. Again, the unfolding of Mark's gospel is the story of Jesus' baptism. You could say it's all about Jesus' baptism, the baptism of the cross, where he bears all of our willful actions against the well-being and life of others, and against the very will of God that all should have life. In that way, Jesus bears our sins and bears the disappointment and judgment of God. But God's will for life, as expressed in the Beloved, the Word made flesh, is never deflected. In Jesus, in his own life ministry for the healing and new life of all, in his crucifixion for the forgiveness of all, and in his resurrection for the new life of all, God's will is always to call you, me, to call of us together, his beloved, to be in deepest relationship with us for life, ours and those whom we are in relationship. The gift of the Holy Spirit and the identification of Jesus as the beloved is an inclusive expression of God's universal will for us to be in relationship of life with God and with one another. The betrayal of Mr. Jefferson's beloved man, Meriwether Lewis, and opposition to Jesus have in common an exclusive and separative vision of who is worthy of life and who is not. This is most certainly not the Holy Spirit. But we gather this day to remember our baptism, to remember the baptism of Jesus, to be once more showered with water and the Spirit and the promises of God in Christ Jesus. In the Holy Spirit, our deep relationship to the God who sees us all now as beloved in Christ Jesus. In him, we are empowered to set our judgments aside, the judgments that pop into our mind almost immediately in almost all situations, and to set our inclination for exclusion and separation aside. And in the baptism of these waters, in the communion of the Holy Spirit, in God's embrace of us all as beloved, to see one another, to call one another as beloved. Amen.